Hello everyone, I hope you're doing great today and enjoy these stories. Make sure you check out my Patreon in the description for early access to my videos, and make sure you check out my podcast too, also in the description. I have a message before the video starts, so if you want to go straight to the stories, then there's timestamps in the description for that. So for today I'd like to share this. I think when you're dealing with your mental health and any issues you have regarding it, it's important to almost accept and be open to therapists helping, or helping at least identify what you have so they can give you further support or help. I think that's because if you're too close-minded and think you can get better with it yourself and just try and constantly think your way out of problems, it won't always work, because there's certain issues where if you do that you can actually make yourself worse, and it's something called ruminating, where your thoughts kind of spiral down and down. Because I know some people, if they have an issue, they'll think, oh, if I go and sit in a room for long enough, I'll think my way out of this. But most likely, that's only going to make the issue worse and will get you into more negative thinking. If you find a good therapist, they'll be able to tell you almost exactly what you have and what you need to do, and it's honestly like night and day difference. A good analogy for it is that a good therapist will be able to tell you more about your mind than you understand currently. And I think it's important to realise that there's many, many years of research and development that's gone into this, and for getting better and understanding it's not always something you can just think your way out of. It's almost like they can figure out what's wrong, then just give you a massive book, speaking metaphorically, on how to get better instantly and things that you might not have understood or discovered before. So I'm saying all this just to remind people that I think it's very important to be open-minded to the possibilities of therapist helping, and they might uncover something that you didn't realize you had and you thought was normal but could change your life completely. And remember too, like I always say, if you do find a therapist and it doesn't work out the first time, that's completely fine. It's normal to go through a couple before you find the right one, but the right one's out there and it could change your life. So I hope that can make a difference to someone, and I hope you all enjoy these stories. I'll speak to you all soon. I worked as a park ranger for a long time and still do. Now, something happened to me when I was off duty one day that I can't really explain. I was doing a long road trip to go and visit some family out of state. It basically meant I'd be driving for a good few days, and luckily to keep me company, I had my lovely Labrador. I absolutely loved this dog, well, I still do. She was really my friend away from home, and my friend at home, so I was happy to have my dog there with me. It also meant that along the way we could stop and go for really nice walks in the forest and whatnot. Now, about halfway during the trip, I decided that I would stop off in another national park. I actually didn't cover this area as I was quite a long way from where I was stationed, but I was just really excited to be out there. I took my dog, grabbed the lead, and we head out, and I had lots of water with me, remembering that my dog could get dehydrated really easily. So we go for a nice 10 minute walk and eventually stop by a lake. I have to stop my dog jumping and going for a swim, which is really funny because honestly it's like a bat out of hell trying to get to the lake, but I don't know what's in the water, and I don't really have a good way to dry my dog, so I decide not to. We go back to my car and we continue onwards once again. It's starting to get quite dark and I'm actually feeling really tired suddenly. You know, like you can sometimes randomly just out of nowhere when there's no reason for it. There wasn't really anywhere good to pull over, so unfortunately I had to just stop at the side of the road, away from bends or anything, but onto a nice little clearing that was surrounded by trees. Now, the night came very quickly and it was a little bit cold, so I was happy to have my dog there too to help keep me warm. I'm just laying there thinking about the things that I'm going to do when I get back to my family, and I suddenly hear a very loud thud sound. I can't really describe exactly where it was in terms of proximity, but it made me jump, and my dog woke up because I jumped, but the dog was none the wiser. Now, the second that I got up, I suddenly hear a screeching sound. It's enough to make me freeze in place, and then another. Now this is literally like a banshee screech. It starts out in front of the car, then behind it, then to the left and right, sounding like it's coming from the forest. My dog is absolutely terrified, whimpering next to me, making a strange, scared sound that I've never heard it make before. Now, I'm absolutely frozen with fear. I look around desperately, trying to look for the source of the noise, but I can't see anything. I grab a flashlight, quickly piercing it through the inky black tree line, and again I see nothing. And just like it started, it stopped. I can't hear it whatsoever. I quickly grab my dog, we get back into the driving seat, and I floor it out of there. I ended up driving through the night and stopping early outside of my relative's house, deciding to sleep in the car there. The next morning, I decided not to tell anyone about what had happened because I thought they wouldn't believe me or would think that I'd gone insane, but even my dog still seemed a little shook up for the next couple of days. I have no idea what could have possibly made that sound or why it was in all directions. I would usually think that, oh, I was probably just delirious from sleep, but no, my dog heard it too and was equally as paranoid and terrified as I was. I want to know what made that sound. About 2 years ago, I was driving home from a family reunion party pretty late at night, and the drive was about 2 hours. I didn't stay long because I had to be back for work the following day. Most of the drive was on dirt roads, with dense brushes on trees on either side. The real creepy ones that you see in movies, really. So anyway, I'd been driving about 45 minutes when I was starting to get really tired. You know how sometimes you suddenly become really tired out of nowhere? Well, yeah, that happens to me. I knew I wasn't gonna last. I didn't come across any place I felt I could park and sleep safely. Anyway, it becomes clear to me that I wasn't gonna find any place to pull up, and my tiredness isn't going anywhere. I did something questionable. I pulled over to the side of the road onto the grass behind some bushes and tried to hide my car from anybody else who was going to see it driving past. The roads weren't empty, and I would come across another car basically every few minutes. I made a mental note that the time is 11:22 and then I sleep. Sometime later, I'm awoken by a scratching sound. I look to the clock, 11:50. The sound then stops for a few seconds, and because I was still extremely tired, I didn't bother looking around and simply fall asleep again. I was later woken by the same sound. It's now 12:40. This time, I was really freaked out because the sound doesn't stop. The thought ran across my mind that it was an animal inspecting my car, but why wouldn't it stop? It's been an hour. I look in the rearview mirror and just manage to catch a glimpse of something as it ran into the forest. Now, at this time, I thought it was the damn hook killer. You know, the one that basically scratches on the couple's car, then slaughters the guy who'd gone out to investigate. Nah, not me, I thought to myself. So I got the heck out of there. There was a bend, no more than 100 yards up the road, and as I come around it, there's a car parked right off the side of the road, with the door open. I slow down just to see if anyone's in there. There wasn't. Then I looked in my rearview mirror. I didn't see anything. All of a sudden, a guy comes bolting out of the corner screaming, "Hey you, get out of my car, come here now." I get out of there and sped off as quickly as I can, and I never saw that guy again. To paint a picture, our stand was near the bottom left of this acre of land and we have 2 acres visible. Our right in front of us and another to our right, which was mostly visible from the tree stand. It was about 2 or 3 hours into waiting for some deer to show up. We had heard a lot of different animals like turkeys, foxes and all kinds of birds and lots of squirrels. It's very exciting for me. Eventually, at the opposite end of the acre, a small deer comes out of the tree line. I had my gun ready, but my uncle signals to me to let it go. He later explained that it would be an extremely hard shot even for him, and also the deer was small. So, I just watched this cute deer march away. It leaves with its tail wagging. Now my uncle and I shared a smile. I was so surprised that our tree stand really worked. And bam, out of nowhere, a bear lunges from the brush and absolutely annihilates the deer, dead instantly, and pulls it back into the brush. All that motion and power took less than 3 seconds. I was in absolute awe. Even replaying it in my head now, I still think to myself, what the heck? I was shocked and terrified while also simultaneously being amazed and excited. My uncle, though, had the classic look of fear, probably because I was so young and was there with him, but it was jarring regardless. Not only are bears extremely rare in my area, but the fact it was huge and was patrolling around or hiding unseen and unheard to either of us was just insane. I think about 30 minutes later, my uncle decided it's time for us to leave. We got down and packed up our gear into the bed of his truck. He starts it off and I'm walking around the backside taking my time. Stretched out and let that sun hit my face and cool air in my lungs. I don't remember exactly why, but my eyes are fixated on one area. As if my brain knew it was seeing something that it wasn't fully processing yet, and suddenly, the mood changed in the air. I sense something is wrong and start to turn around and walk to the back passenger door, but I didn't take my eye off this part of the train line. Just before I got in, that same bear pokes his head out and stares. It was far away, but I could tell its mouth was covered in blood. It's just staring at us. I close the door and continue to look at it from the back window. My uncle noticed it as well. We're now both just scared. I've never seen anything like it before or since, but it was a really good lesson in trusting to understand that your instincts can be right. So I was about 5 at my grandparents' house, which was pretty rural, surrounded by woods and farms. It had just got fully dark out, but they had a few lights in the yard, and I was just bopping around doing whatever kids do. This would be around 1998 to 99 in Texas. I wandered over to the far edge of the yard, right outside of where the lights could reach, under one of those big trees, and something in that tree growled at me like I've never heard before. It was 15 feet up in the air and it didn't sound like a dog. I remembered freezing and being too scared to move for what felt like a long time, but it was probably just a few seconds. And then I backed up a few feet before I turned around and freaking sprinted across the yard to my porch as fast as my legs can go. It wasn't a good idea. I don't know how it didn't chase me and rip my throat out. I ran in and told the adults there's a jaguar outside because that's what it sounded like, but no one believes me. About 10 years later, my dad is telling me stories about growing up in that house and how at night in the summer, you'd hear the shrieks of mountain lions that migrated up the creek behind the house every year. Now I'm 100% convinced that the growl was a mountain lion trying to keep me away from that tree for whatever reason. Maybe there's a cub with it, or food or something. Someone recently hit one with a car not too far from there, so they are definitely in that area. So, a buddy and I went hunting over a long weekend a few years ago. We hiked into the hunting terrain and stayed in a tent. This is in the middle of nowhere in the Norwegian wilderness, and we had exclusive hunting rights to this area, so we didn't think anyone would be around. We have no cell service within something like a 5 to 6 kilometer radius, and something like 10 kilometer to our cars. Now, we camped over next to a small lake, and didn't see any people there for the first couple of days. On our last night there, we were eating dinner next to our campfire. Pretty late at night, so everything outside our immediate surroundings is pitch black. Now suddenly, we heard somebody take a shot on the other side of the lake. It sounds like a rifle. We thought this was a bit strange since there shouldn't have been any other hunters here, but we just figured somebody was messing around. We forget about it and go back in to eat. Another 10 minutes or so later, someone took a second shot, which sounded much closer. This time, the bullet hits rocks behind us, like 5 meters or so. We both freeze and just look at each other. And then there's another shot, and we're pretty sure our tent's hit. We obviously had no idea who did it or what to do. We couldn't call the cops since there's no cell service and it's completely dark, so we couldn't really hike out there without using flashlights, which seems to be a terrible idea. We ended up finding a downed tree with a little cave-like thing under the roots. We sat there until the morning. We then packed up as soon as possible and basically ran to the cars, where we called the police. The police took it pretty seriously, it seemed like, but nothing ever came out of the investigation. We really, even to this day, still have no idea what happened or who could have possibly done it. This was absolutely bizarre, with no reason for anyone to be out there with a gun, unless they are poachers, which is almost unheard of in Norway. I've never been so scared in my life, and it definitely took me a few years before I went back. Now, I was pig hunting in the bush in NSW in Australia. Me and my mate were stalking two pigs merrily, degrading a riverbank. Anyway, we make our way downwind and are totally still, and about 30 meters away in the brush, about to take our shots with a 308s, the two pigs absolutely bolt away. We literally just stand up and shake our heads, having no clue what scared them like that. I've never seen a pig go from zero to full flight without at least hearing a gunshot. Anyway, we were pretty annoyed and decided to pack it in. Just as we're basically on our walk back through some pretty thick wood pine, maybe 100 feet away from where we are, we hear a growl. I swear to God, it sounded like a lion from Africa. There is nothing in Australia that should make that sound, nothing at all. I've never been so scared in my whole life. Then I realise, no birdsong nearby, and it's pretty close to evening. So, we stood still for 5 minutes, rifles out in the falling light, with no birds, before we decide that we have to head back to the trail, and get back to where I parked my ute, about 30 minutes walk in the dusk, rifles out, jumping every time we hear something. I still don't know what the sound was, but I will never forget how primarily afraid of it I was. Like, evolution had programmed us to stay long away from things like this. I'd been out all day since about 3 a.m. and was heading back to the truck. All day, I had the feeling of being watched. All day. I don't see anything. I was walking up a draw that had a small cliff on one side, and that feeling of being watched really intensifies so intensely that I'm worried about having a heart attack or stroke or something. I stopped and looked around and I saw her, calmly sitting on her haunches at the top of a cliff just watching. She didn't blink, she didn't look away, just stared, and I stared back. I don't know how long that we stood like that. It was a mountain lion. It felt like a very long time, and I know that the sun moved a decent amount. Now, eventually she stood up. We stared for a long while, and then she just turns around and disappeared. Now, I never saw her again. I was out hunting and heard somebody screaming in the woods. At first I thought it was an auntie trying to scare game away. As I listened closer, I could hear it was help. Went towards the sound and found a first-time hunter who was lost. He's in total panic, red in the face and all sweaty, still yelling even though I was standing next to him trying to calm him down. This is in early December, about 3 in the afternoon. It gets dark at about 5 at this time of year. It was cold and snowing. His phone died, he had no flashlight, no way to start a fire, thermal blanket, map, compass, food, water, nothing. The scary part is thinking what would have happened if I didn't hear him. I walked him a couple of miles to the nearest road and he used my phone to get a call to go and get a pickup. Okay, this is 100% true. So now I'm 23 years old and this happened about 10 years ago when I was 13 or 14. I used to basically skateboard all of the time, pretty much literally. I absolutely loved doing it. Now, all the time I would go with my friends Tim and Brandon, and one day when we got done skating, we decided to go to a 7-Eleven to go and get some food or drinks before going home. Remember, I was only 13 or 14, so we weren't driving. We had skated to the 7-Eleven and were planning on skating slash walking back home. Anyway, we buy our drinks and we left the store. We walked to the parking lot's exit and prepared to cross the highway. While we waited for the traffic light to turn red so we could cross, I looked behind me at the 7-Eleven gas pumps and I noticed a 40 or 50 year old man pumping gas into the truck while staring at me. Now, he stared at me and before I knew it, he dropped the gas pump and jumped into his truck. He slammed on the gas and sped straight to my friend and I. He missed us, but he grazed my arm and knocked my skateboard out of my hand. My friend Brandon screamed, "What the hell?" as the man basically peels out really quickly. I swear to God, he drove through a ditch or something because he managed to get to the 7-Eleven parking lot and he comes around and tries to run us over again. This is where it got bad. All three of us started running at full speed across the highway towards the local library, which is really about 2 or 3 blocks from the 7-Eleven. When we're about half a block away, I looked back and saw the maniac speeding towards us full of rage. Brandon and Tim ran up to the library doors and I ran towards the woods. It was a Sunday, so I knew the libraries closed, and there was a trail in the woods which led up to my backyard. Meanwhile, this maniac is basically peeling into the parking lot, hopping out of his truck. I look behind me, and before escaping into the woods, I see him grab either a shotgun or crowbar. I'm pretty far away at this point, so I can't really see it that well, but it's from the back of his truck. I ran all the way home. When I got to my street, my neighbor, Tim's dad, told me to get into his car because he had to go back to the video store, which is where Tim's mom worked. When I got there, I found Tim and Brandon and 3 cops. A minute later, my mom came in crying her eyes out because Brandon and Tim told her they didn't know if I lived or not. Everybody thought that I was captured. Tim told me that he saw the guy running after me into the woods, which is scary because I thought the maniac was chasing them, not me. Anyway, he was never caught and I spent the next 5 years worrying whenever I saw a white truck again. So north of Atlanta, deer hunting, I headed to WMA in northern Georgia. I only had a short time to scout the area, but I had a basic, inexperienced plan to go in early and follow a game trail to where it looked like it crossed a river. My plan was to sit quietly until the early morning deer began to move. I arrived at around 4 a.m. and got my basic gear loaded and began my hike to the game trail with no light except a headlamp. When I got to where a few gem trails converged near the river crossing, I looked for cover and found an old rocky foundation and some kind of sketchy rocks and brush put together, but it was enough to provide ample cover. I set up inside and roughly formed an area provided by the rock and vegetation where I can set up nice. After about 90 minutes, it was legal hunting hours. I continued to wait, but as the daylight got brighter, I noticed a lot of things around me. I was working as a lineman at the time and I noticed the yellow tape tapered down on the ground in a few places. The area was very wet and the yellow tape is covered in dirt and mud. It was similar to the tape that we use to keep people out of hazardous areas and off our trails when they're in use. I noticed the remnants of paint on the ground, nearly missing lines, similar to what was left when underground utility locates were painted weeks ago. About 7:45 a.m, I hadn't seen a single sign of deer movement, so I decide to move a bit further in. As I get up, I realize I was sitting in what appeared to be a small stone area built as a hut or fort or cabin of some kind. The ground had a thin slab and the stone was piled up marking walls. Some were knocked down ages ago, but some were in decent shape. I walked up to the road that was about 100 feet from where I was sitting. When I got to the road, I saw a display of colourful objects. I walked over and it was a 3-foot by 4-foot tall pile wide area of stuffed animals. It had been raining all week and so these were soaking wet, covered with splashes of dirt and whatnot, looking very nice. Affixed to a tree above the stuffed animals was a barely legible sign that was streaking in the rain. It was in memorial of somebody who had been murdered in these woods. My mind raced as I realised the tape on the ground was a police line, and the paint was likely designated to where the body may have been recovered. I was kneeling in the exact location of a murder scene, or at least where a body was recovered. Hunting was over for the day, and I literally had random shivers for hours. This is a story my aunt told me years ago. My auntie and her family lived in a very rural area and backwards part of Lincoln County, West Virginia. She said that her father would go fox hunting periodically. He and other men would travel up into the mountains to their camp. There, they would let their dogs run and chase foxes and spend the evening talking about different things and telling stories to themselves. My aunt had siblings, many siblings, which isn't really uncommon back in the 1950s backwards, WV. Now, her mother decided that she would walk with several of her youngest children up to her husband's, my aunt's father's camp. My aunt was one of the party. She said that they walked a long way back up onto the mountain and spent a few hours relaxing and spending time with her dad. The group had such a nice time there that they didn't realise that it had gotten so late. My aunt's father gave his wife a lantern in order for her kids to be able to see on their long journey down the mountain. As the group left, the lights from Fox Hunter's camp eventually faded out of sight as they walked down on the mountain. Her mother notices a small ball of light about the size of a softball coming down the mountain behind them. Thinking it was her husband needing something, she and the children stopped on the trail to wait. As they stood there, the light slowly made its way down the path and into better view. My aunt said that the closer it got, they could see that it wasn't a lantern, but a ball of light floating about 3 feet from the ground. She said once her mother realized this, she put the children in front of her and told them to run as quick as they can down the old trail that was cut into the mountain. My aunt told me that they ran as fast as they could down the hill. She said that the faster they run, the faster the ball of light went. My aunt said that they finally got to their home and ran inside and locked the door. According to my aunt, they're all terrified and finally got the courage to go look out the window, and they can't see anything. For some information about me, I am American. I was born in America, but my father's from Norway, so that means that I spend half my time in America, where I work as a park ranger, and whenever I get a chance, I love to go back to Norway. Specifically, I live in a place called Bergen, which is really beautiful. Well, half live there, should I say. Now, in America, I live in a state that has beautiful national parks and forests everywhere. It's my favourite place to be. Now, there was one particular time about 10 years ago that I was back in vacation in my lovely Norway, and I was having a really good time visiting my friends and relatives. Now, a friend of mine was asking many questions about my job in America and what I have to do for this. He just said he finds it fascinating and it would be a job that he'd love to do. He kept on going on about it, so I said, "Hey, in my friend's name, why don't we go out to a hike one day and maybe go camping together?" He absolutely loved the idea and jumped up for it. Now, we decided that it'd be best if we went camping, but we would just hike out to the area first to get an idea of where we wanted to go and to see how my friend was being out there in the cold. He again was very excited about this, and so we picked a date and set off. Now, the area we went to is truly picturesque. There was snow falling everywhere, and you could see that the tracks hadn't been trodden very much by other people. We started off in an area that's pretty well travelled, meaning you can see other people have been here before, but none today at least. My friend said that for someone who's lived in Norway most of their life, he really hasn't been out in nature enough, and I laughed and agreed, and we just talk about life generally, and he has lots of different questions for me. I decide that it'd be a good idea if we walk off onto one of the paths that actually goes away from where most people travel. The trees are a little bit more lower hanging now, and you have to be careful not to walk into things, but I say that I'm going to lead the way, and my friend is really happy and excited to see everything. There's some snow falling off the tree, which kind of makes it look like there's snow falling to your left as we enter, and it's really beautiful. We have to duck down for a little bit, which kind of hurt my back because there's some fallen trees that we pass over, and we have to be careful not to get wet because we don't want to get cold out here. Surprisingly, you can see that somebody's been on this track before, which is quite interesting because I've actually been on here before and not encountered anyone. Not to worry, we continue ahead and eventually make it towards somewhat of a clearing with a beautiful stream that runs next to us. My friend keeps on talking and talking, and I remind him that he's got to keep up some of his energy because we've got the hike back, and we both laugh about it. We decide to stop for a while and stand next to the stream. My friend keeps on commenting how beautiful it is and how quiet it is out here, and I tell him I really know, and this is why I love my job so much when I'm in America, and he has lots of different questions about it. He does ask me what's anything scary that's happened to me being out there in nature before, and I say, well, not too many things really, but there's one story that I shared with him that I'd like to share with you all briefly. So, I was stationed out in my area that I have to cover, and everything was normal. I was just doing one of my regular patrols. Now, while I set out, I kept on getting a report of a truck driving round, and it 100% should not have been. That's because we were permitted to drive in certain areas, and nobody else was, so we knew that somebody was up to something. There was a chance that somebody was hunting games who wasn't supposed to be over there, and that didn't sit well with us, so I was keeping an eye out for this. Almost expecting to find nothing, I'd let my mind drift to elsewhere, actually thinking of Norway and coming back on this trip at the time. Now, I didn't see much of anything for the first few days, until eventually, I did see a truck, and I thought, this is interesting. Thinking it was one of the other Rangers' trucks, I didn't think too much of it. And it turned out that was the case. It actually was. I continue onwards, and I don't think much of it. I actually forgot about it for a couple of hours until I see the same truck once again. It's very similar to our ones. That's when I realised that it's not actually one of our trucks, and I'm somewhat annoyed at myself for not checking earlier. I can see somebody sitting in it, and they have a hat which is similar to ours, so I just presume that maybe it was one that I haven't seen before, and that maybe it's just my mind playing games with myself. I decide that it's good if I go and investigate, and at least then I can put a decent report in and solve this thing, and get back to more pressing issues. I can still see somebody sitting there, so I call out to them, and wait for a couple of minutes, but there's no response. Thinking this is strange, I'm worried that something has happened to one of my fellow rangers, so I quickly go to talk on the radio, but stop, thinking, if somebody's passed out and they need medical help, I'm not going to be much use if I'm just talking over a radio. So I slowly make my way over. Now something seems different. I don't know how to describe it. The lighting wasn't the best due to the covering of the trees, but something just appeared wrong with this situation. I decided to remain still for a while. This person definitely wasn't moving, and it didn't look like they were breathing, which made me panic a little bit. I now jogged over, and I realised something's off that stops me dead in my tracks. This isn't a person at all. It's a mannequin wearing almost an exact replica of the cats that we wear. Confused, I take a step back for a moment and look around, trying to see somebody or anyone, but I can't find anything. I then radio in what's happening, and there's going to be another ranger who's going to check it out with me. I looked around the car to see if there was any signs of any other life, but there's literally nothing. Eventually backup arrives and I ask permission to open the truck and see what's happening. And it's granted, they just say proceed with caution. Now I actually put something in my hand to open the door, just in case somebody put like a small blade or something under the handle. I really didn't want that happening. So, I hesitantly go and open the door, and weirdly, lots of the console has been ripped out of the car. You can see this thing's basically been gutted, and there's no way that it's going to drive anywhere. There's nobody else around, and I decide to pop the trunk. I pull the lever that pops the trunk and nothing happens. I then go around the back, and me and my friend pry it open basically. And weirdly, there's a large teddy bear wearing another ranger hat there, staring back at us. Worried that maybe there's a bomb or something, we decide to suddenly sprint back at least 40 meters and call in some law enforcement to figure out exactly what this is. We waited for a good 2 hours before the police could actually arrive to give us some help, just because we're really out of the way and apparently actually got lost upon arrival. When they do arrive, they seem very suspicious of everything and wonder whether it was somebody really trying to have one over on us, but we think otherwise. They very cautiously prodded around and realised there was no bombs or explosives or anything, because truly this was looking like something out of some kind of movie. They gone over to the mannequin and took the hat off, and everything was as it seemed. They have no idea how the truck actually got here though, because there was no tracks around leading up to the thing, so how it got there is really beyond me, truthfully. Now, they did dust over everywhere, but strangely, they couldn't find any fingerprints whatsoever other than our own, where we had investigated. And it was one of the weirdest things that happened to me. How anyone or anything could have got the truck out there is beyond me. It would have A, made too much noise, or B, 100% left evidence, but C, there was nothing to actually get it there. There was no engine, so obviously it didn't come on its own power. Maybe, just maybe, it was a UFO that done it, but who knows. But why was there a mannequin in there? Why did it have the hats to accompany it, along with its friend in the boot? I won't know. I don't think I ever will, but it really scared me for a while. After sharing this with my friend, it was safe to say that he was very scared now, and pretty hesitant to actually go on. "Yeah, I probably shouldn't have told you that," I said to my friend, and he laughed and says, "No, I'm just kidding, buddy. I'm fine. Let's press on." And we continue onwards. Now, this part of the walk in the snow is again absolutely beautiful, and we're now approaching much larger trees. We go up to the bridge and we're just talking generally, and my friend keeps on asking me different questions about what's the most scary thing that's happened to me just in the woods generally. And I tell him that I've got one more story to share with him, but let's just appreciate how nice it is here first. And we continue onwards. Now my friend stupidly gets very close to the edge of the bridge and the beams aren't very high, and he kind of half slips in but luckily slaps the ground and kind of stops himself. I'm not sure how he done it, but it's definitely a good thing because I can't be bothered to drag him over to safety. To my left I can see a beautiful stream, and this shoots off from the one that we're just on, and we continue up to a bigger bridge. I tell my friend, hey, please don't fall in this time, seriously. If you go in, I'm not going to be able to get you out easily. He laughs and continues very hesitantly. If you're going out on long hikes, especially in the snow with people that don't really go out in the outdoors often, it can be quite dangerous for them, and normal situations can sometimes become life-threatening. And that's what my friend was doing. He seemed so up for coming out here at first, but it's almost like now that he came out in the cold, he was having second thoughts and 100% didn't want to be here with me. But that was fine and to be expected, I guess, and at least we wouldn't have to do the camping trip now. So we continue on. We keep moving up some steps and are now moving uphill, and my friend keeps on pestering me about my other strange forest story. I tell my friend that if I share this story with you, then please don't get too scared to not go on, because you seemed pretty scared before, and he laughs and says, yeah, don't worry, I won't. I say fine, and I start telling him my other story. Now this one is from my childhood. This one again was actually in America, not over here, and was on a beautiful summer's day. On this particular day, I hung out with a group of friends. Now, all of us like to go out into the woods together. Now mind you, we were very young, and we did live in quite a safe area, so our parents didn't have that much of a problem with us doing this, and we liked to play a game called Manhunt. Now for those of you who don't know, basically, there's somebody who has to hunt, and the others have to hide. So Manhunt, as the name suggests, except we were much younger to be considered men. So basically, the person who's going to look for everybody else counts up to about 100, then shouts out Manhunt and runs around looking for everybody else. It's kind of silly thinking of it now, but at the time it was great fun, and we actually used to play this in school together, except the point that we'd all start at was basically just a bin, like the one you'd throw rubbish in. But on this particular day, there was another person there, so there was four of us in total, plus this extra one. Nobody really seemed to know much about this other person. Apparently he was just playing on his own before, and some of the other group decided to invite him along. His clothes seemed somewhat different to all of ours, and were actually a bit more dated than what we were wearing, and we didn't think too much of it, I guess just because we're quite young at the time. So we continued onwards, and he didn't really say too much about himself or why he was there, just that he'd only moved there recently. So I was one who had to go out looking for everybody. That was in the first game. All of the other kids run off, including the new one, and I start counting. Now of course, I start counting very slowly, like I guess you're supposed to as a kid. And then I start very quickly once they can't hear me anymore. I probably did maybe 30 seconds of counting in total, but I think everybody else did. But I don't know, I had to win this game, you know? So I look out calling Manhunt while I head off. Now I decide to run very quickly for the first few seconds, and funnily enough, I found one of my friends instantly. He was basically hiding behind the tree next to the exact position that I'd started in. I laugh because he always does this, and I don't know why he never caught on to the fact that I would immediately find him, but I think he couldn't really be bothered to hide much, so I kind of respected that about him. Now, in our version of Manhunt, we're able to use the new people that we found as a part of the hunting squad. Obviously, that makes the game have increasing difficulty over time, and we set out trying to find our other friends. I decided that I had to go back to go grab some water, and I asked my friend that I've just found to go on further. I head back, and I can't believe it. Almost exactly in the same position as I caught the other friend, there's another one. I laugh and say, come on, couldn't you have found a better spot than that? And my friend then joins the search. Now, after not long, we find the other friend, so now there's only one more left, basically. So that means that there's three of us searching, with the fourth just joining us, meaning that there's only one person left to find, the new friend. Now, in this first game, I was the one looking for everyone, like I said, and in the second I was going to be hiding, so I was more looking forward to that because I just find it more fun. Now, all of us met up and said, we don't know where that new person's gone, and we actually got a little bit worried, thinking, imagine if we lost someone on the first day that we met them, wouldn't it be funny? So, we head off in different directions, all of us looking for the same new person, not really knowing his name, which actually makes finding him far harder. We searched and searched for what seemed like hours, what was probably only a number of minutes, and we couldn't seem to find him. We basically searched a very wide area, which is pretty much as far as you could search, and looked over every possible place that he could have been hiding in, and we couldn't find him at all. Thinking maybe he fooled a quick one on us and had just escaped back home, we decide that we shouldn't look much further. I think maybe he's just a bit weird and that's why he ran off. So all of us meet up again and decide what to do, thinking we should probably go home, but we should tell our parents that he might be lost out there, hoping maybe they know him. He also shared with us roughly where he lived too, so we knew we basically had to go back to our neighbourhood, then just down one road we'd be able to find his house, so that's what we do. We start walking back, and we're still looking for this person, but we can't find them, literally anywhere. It seems like no matter where we go, this kid is gone, so we just get back to our parents. We then go towards one of the houses who lives closest, and start talking to the mother there. We explain our game and say that we've met a new friend, but they've gone lost in the forest and not to worry about it. And as you can imagine, this mother, like any mother should do, got extremely worried and said, who is he? What does he look like? How long's he been out there for? And goes to sprint for the phone. We all look a little bit worried, thinking that we're going to be in big trouble now. And the mother seems very annoyed that we can't give many details. She then said, where does he live? And we explain and say the exact house that he's come from. The mother now puts the phone down and says, show me where. I mean, exactly where this house is. And we go off to show her. And exactly as it was described, near the neighbourhood, then down a long road. We follow the mother down this road, and she seems to have some kind of energy. Not like it's angry, but kind of like a scared energy, which is quite hard to describe unless you've seen it. That's when we realise that this road leads to where a house used to be. The house is basically half ruined now, and there was a large fire many years ago. I mean, 50 years before our time. But it's weird because this is literally the exact spot that he said he lived in. And when the mother realizes this of one of the kids we're with, she goes very strange and almost looks like she's seen a ghost. She says, just go back, it's fine, I'll deal with this. And we all go back home and I didn't think much of it. It wasn't until a number of years later that I learnt, apparently, there used to be a young child that lived there and a family, and unfortunately, he went missing after a fire that happened to burn the house down, and the family had never seen him since and eventually moved out of state. As I told my friend this story, he basically looked like he'd just seen a ghost too, and I understand why. I'm pretty convinced that what we encountered was some kind of recurring ghost that, you know, is kind of like a lost spirit out there. It's just going through the same thing again and again and never leaves, and it really made me believe in the paranormal. So anyway, my friend is now very scared, but I'd assure him that nothing's gonna happen and that we should just continue on our little hike, and he's much more quiet now, which I guess for me is quite a good thing really, because I actually was a little bit annoyed that he kept on asking me things and I couldn't really enjoy my time too much. So anyway, we continue on the hike, and the cold Nordic air is starting to pierce through our clothes a little bit, because we're being static just talking, and I know now that we should probably head back. So, we start our walk, and we go past the same tree that had blocked us before that we had to duck under. We come up to the same bridge again, and we just start talking about different things now. Now, we're actually both quite tired, and I decide that it's going to be a good idea if we stop for a little while and drink some tea. I have a couple of biscuits and other things with me, which basically are a lifesaver when you're out here and starting to feel cold. So, we have a tea break, and we're just relaxing generally. While we're drinking the tea, I can hear laughter, and I tell my friend to knock it off. It's not like his normal laugh, and I haven't said anything funny. It's kind of like a maniacal laugh, but more animalistic. My friend looks at me, still with tea in his mouth, and I realise something's up. For the next 5 seconds, we hear a cackly kind of laugh just off in the distance, echoing off of the valleys around us, which is extremely bizarre. A, because we've not seen anybody whatsoever on our trip, and B, because why would there be laughter out here like this? Maybe it was some animal that we hadn't seen. We both agree that it's probably an animal, but it seems really bizarre. Unfortunately, it's basically the only path we can take to get back to civilization, and we don't really have the option to go through the trees because the terrain's very treacherous beyond the path. So, we decide to give it some time so whoever this maniac is can just get out of the way. We then decide that after a few minutes we should press on. I decide to take the lead, not because I was feeling brave, just because I didn't have a choice really, because my friend is basically frozen there. I keep telling him, come on, we've got to get a move on and just solve this and get back. I'm sure it's nothing, it's probably just a person, don't worry. And we continue down a small ridge. While walking down the ridge, we've realised that up ahead is a person. They're dressed in pretty much all black, but their clothes seem to be one piece, if that makes sense. So like they're wearing some strange overalls, and they're kind of gliding through the snow ahead of us. They're going pretty quick and keep disappearing over different hills and beyond the tree line. We decide to walk much more slower now just to let them go ahead. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but you know when somebody's acting a bit strange ahead of you, and if you slow down you can create distance? Well, that's what we're doing, and we decide to stop on another bridge. We finish off the rest of the tea, and we don't hear any more laughter this time, so we just start to crack jokes about who this person was or what they were doing, and I start pretending they were laughing at my friend for being so scared of the stories. Feeling more confident now, my friend walks ahead of me and actually leads the way back, which I was pretty impressed by. We're coming up to an area that has a little bit less snow now than before, but it's fresh set snow, so you can see where you've been. Now that's when we notice the first thing that seems odd. There's no footsteps here. Literally nobody's been here, no animal or anything. So that leads us both to have one question. Where did this person go? And how did they get there? Because we're both certain that we've just followed their steps, but there are none to follow. There's no animals, nothing. So, we're both a little confused here, but think it's probably just nothing and we're just overthinking. I'm getting a lot more worried now, and we both continue on, cautiously. Now, this part of the path actually opens up a lot more, and again, there's no signs of footsteps anywhere, which is really bizarre, because usually you should be able to track something in the snow if it's following your path. And whatever this person is, they were definitely following our path, or at least walking on the same one. And there's no tracks anywhere that you think a normal person would walk. That's when we're thinking maybe it's an animal. And there are actually some strange Norwegian folklore tales about these kinds of things, but I don't know. I never thought they were much more than just that, I guess, but maybe I was wrong. Now my mind flashes back to the time that I played with that ghost child, and I start to get a little worried. From this specific point that we're standing, we can actually see a lot further ahead. And we both stop for a moment. You can just about make out some kind of black figure, really far off, quite high up on, not really a mountain, but a high-hilled area, kind of floating along the top. It's moving left to right very quickly, and we both look at each other again, just to see if we're actually seeing the same thing. At first I thought it was a bird, but there's no wings flapping at all, or anything. It's like, almost as though you got something on a large cable dragging it left and right, but not moving like that. And suddenly, it disappears again over the ridge. Now, we're not sure what we've just seen, but we know it doesn't look right at all. Now we're a little bit worried. Once again, this thing is up ahead, basically in the exact position that we need to go to, but somewhat miles away almost. It's quite hard to describe, but it's like it's skipped much further ahead of us, but we can still see where it is roughly. We now walk even slower, very confused on what we're seeing, thinking maybe it's something that has a logical explanation. Maybe it's some kind of bag or even a kite or something stuck up in the trees that's just going back and forth. Maybe it's an animal in the trees that we're not sure about. But every step we take is further confirmation of the fact that this isn't what we saw, because there's nothing in the trees. Everything's so perfectly still and quiet. The only sound, if any, is random clumps of snow falling off of tree branches once they get too heavy. But none of the snow is disturbed. All of it remains undisturbed, so there's definitely something up now. Every few moments we have to stop and try and figure out what we're looking at. This goes on for a good few minutes, until we can see something just ahead of the bridge that we have to cross on. It's a black figure again. We both stare at it intensely, and decide to duck down into the snow just to stay out of sight and hide behind some of the trees. We have to investigate this thing before it knows what we are, and in a prone position, I slowly crawl my way along the snow, trying my best not to be seen with my friend behind me. This thing does not move, I'm not kidding with you. It literally stays perfectly in its position, not even flinching at anything. I say to myself, God, what are we dealing with here? And what's worse is nightfall isn't really that far away. I continue crawling forwards on my belly, getting a little bit cold, until I've realised that this is just a tree. It's no longer alive, but God, it looked like that thing we saw before. Not sure if we just saw a tree, or what to think. We both proceed somewhat cautiously, walking at a more relaxed pace now, thinking maybe, just maybe, there's something to explain all of this. We get closer and closer to it, and yes, it's just a normal tree with nothing to worry about. We stop for a moment and look up towards the ridgeline. There's nothing there. There's nothing in the trees. It's then confirmed in our minds that whatever we have seen is actually not this tree. Ah, oh, if only it was that simple. And we press onwards. Now we're probably only about 15 minutes from where we need to get to be in the last clearing to get back to the car, and I'm starting to feel a lot more confident. We actually start to joke about what we've just seen, and I realise there's a path that we can take that's basically a shortcut. I explain this to my friend, and he's actually up for the idea, looking forward to getting back warm again and into safety. My friend agrees, and we both go to the right, following this path. Now, as we're walking, my friend notices something that seems odd. There's kind of like a blur up ahead of us, just through the trees, the same height as the thing before, but different. We both then come to a stop, and it stops too. Okay, we're definitely looking at something now. It's almost like a disturbance in the air, if that makes sense. I look at my friend and he looks at me. I then look up at the sky and my friend nods at me. We have to get back before it's dark and gets too cold and treacherous. But that means we have to go up to this thing. Now, we can actually see the exact area that we stopped at before when I told my first story, and it seems to be over there. I checked and I had everything with me, so I know it was nothing that I left there. But how could it be anything I've left there? This thing doesn't look normal at all. We start to proceed once again, very cautiously, as the silent snow falls around us. This thing is definitely set in place, and it's almost like a bit of distorted glass sitting there. We keep looking around periodically, checking that nothing's tracing our steps or following us, and luckily there was nothing. You can also see that the path had been trodden on not too long ago, which is reassuring. But it's hard to say how long ago this was, really. Maybe it's just from somebody who was walking through on a hike and gone back to their car, but I guess we won't know. So we continue onwards. We make it closer and closer to this thing, and that's when I realize there's another. There's two of these kind of like, I don't know how you guys would say, but maybe like blur, just there, perfectly still. There's two large trees I can use for cover, so I decide to slowly go up to this and poke my head around to investigate more. Again, looking at my friend to confirm what I'm seeing is actually real, he nods at me once again, and we realize that whatever this thing is definitely not moving and it does have a friend. Thinking maybe it's a man-made thing, I actually relax a lot and start to proceed over to it. With every step I get closer to it, I feel more and more like I'm being watched, which is really bizarre because I didn't have this the whole time we were out here. Even during the time that we saw that other thing earlier, I did not feel like anyone was here with us. But why am I suddenly feeling so now? And I have this nervousness that I can't really shake, and it's something that I haven't experienced for a long time before. It's almost like a person standing there in front of me, but I can see through them. Maybe, just maybe, this is some kind of spirit or ghost I'm confronted with. Maybe it's that young boy that I'd played with when I was much younger, coming back once again. I've heard about spirits following people, so maybe this is what it is, and he's got more friends to play manhunt with. I'm now feeling terrified and trying my absolute best to put on a brave face so my friend doesn't realize that something's wrong, especially because he's not used to being out here, so it's really up to me to be brave now. I now come within 6 feet of this, and it looks just like a person, but it's not. I now realize that there's a few more of them. There's two more to the left of this, then another one to the right. My friend then notices another one and points at it. I get closer and it's literally a big block of ice shaped like a person. It hasn't got many features and it almost looks like one of those old Bible depictions that you would see from hundreds of years ago, but carved out of ice. And it's not melted at all, but it is ice. And where are the footsteps? There's no footsteps around this thing. It's literally just like it spawned in or something. And this thing's really cold. You can kind of see some mist coming off the very top of it. All of them have slightly different configurations too, which I think is really bizarre. But there's nothing I can really put it to, or compare it to, if that makes sense. Now, this is by far the most surreal moments of my life. Even more bizarre and surreal than the moment that I had when I was a kid and I saw that ghost. This was completely different. It was while standing face to face with this thing, trying to figure out exactly what it is, that the feeling of being watched and being in the wrong place basically becomes unbearable. I look at my friend and say, "We have to leave." And he nods and we both face forward and start taking one step at a time. I can feel the adrenaline surging through my legs now, and I feel a little bit shaky. My friend takes one last look back, and he stops me and grabs my hand. He squeezes it for me to look. I can just about see that figure once again, standing from the area that we just walked down from. just peering behind a tree very slowly, just enough for us to know that it's actually there. Almost like it's doing it on purpose. At least I think that's what it is. I don't know if this is a person or not, but we both turn around and start sprinting. Now again, this is something I only noticed after, but there was no footsteps ahead of us as we continue onwards. We're sprinting for probably a good minute before we have to stop to go slowly over a bridge again. This doesn't make sense. This is not possible. We were there probably half an hour before, or maybe an hour at that, and there was literally nothing there. How on God's green earth could somebody have put those there without us realizing? And where would they have come from with it? We haven't seen anyone whatsoever. And where are the footsteps? It wasn't time to think about all of this. It was just time for us to get out of there and back to safety. While we're running, the feeling of being followed is unshakable. I glance behind myself constantly and I don't see that thing again. But to be honest, I was running so quickly and so scaredly that even if it was, I probably wouldn't have noticed. And when you're running and tired, all the trees look exactly the same, and it kind of just becomes like some big blur that you'll notice behind you. So we continue onwards, and we eventually, thank God, make it back to the normal trail, and we don't have to go much further. We eventually get back to the empty car park with only our own one there, and we quickly jump in the car. I go to turn the ignition, and it doesn't start. I think, God, is this truly how it all ends for me? I then try once again, and thankfully, the engine slowly comes to life. Now, annoyingly, we have to try and demist the window quickly before we can go, but my friend basically does this in a time that would make Usain Bolt jealous, and manages to get the thing cleared off really quick. We don't have much time to defrost the rear view one, and we peel out of there. I actually kind of lost the steering of the car for a second and thought we were going to crash, but luckily I managed to steady it and we're back on the road. Neither of us say a word to each other. We're just lost in our thoughts while we start making the 40-minute drive back to home. Now, I constantly look behind myself, half expecting that thing to be a spirit that's followed me in the car, or maybe in the bonnet, or maybe in the boot, who knows. I can't escape the feeling that we're being watched still, which is one of the weirdest parts about the drive back. We eventually make it back home, and luckily this part is uneventful for us. I drop my friend off at home, and we both look at each other and his wife says, "How was your trip?" He says, "Oh, it was great. It's too cold for camping." And he looks at me, and his look says 1,000 words. We both agree that we're not going to tell people about this, at least not now, and he heads off home. I then drive back home myself and get back to my wife, and she asks the same thing, and I basically said the same, and I head off to sleep. It's the next morning that I get a text from my friend, saying, "Why were you standing outside yesterday?" And I don't know what to tell him. I say, "What do you mean? I just gone straight back home." And he immediately calls me, saying that he thought he saw me standing in his driveway, wearing black, maybe just checking that I was okay and home safe. I told him, "Why would I do that? I already left you and knew you got home safe." And my friend immediately starts panicking, and luckily I managed to calm him down, saying it's probably just all in his imagination, but I don't know. I really don't know what to tell people about what happened, and I can only possibly think it's some kind of folk thing that's native to Norway that people have been saying about for hundreds or thousands of years, but I was one of the people that actually got to see it. Or maybe it was a spirit that was following me, I'll never know. But how those things got there, and what that thing was following us, I'll probably never know until the day that I'm not here.